You know what else is a good thing? Playoff baseball. We've been so hunkered down, man, in the bunker over the last couple of weeks, and actually the last month or so, breaking down the gridiron and focusing in on football. Let's do a little check, see what's going on across the Major League Baseball diamonds. And I'll tell you what's going on. You're chipping your teeth right now. This thing's a roller coaster, man. It's the chipper. All right, you're going up, you're going down. What an incredible season in Major League Baseball this year. Like, seriously. There's like 99 freaking storylines here, man. But to me, the biggest storyline, forget about the home runs and all these cool young players and stuff. To me, the biggest storyline really are these roller coasters. Like, seriously, the Los Angeles Dodgers were on pace to be the greatest team in the history of baseball, all right? You know, like, they were destroying teams on a nightly basis. They were on pace to win like 117 games. Well, they've lost 16 of their last 17 baseball games. The Cleveland Indians, heavy favorites, man, to win the AL Central, like minus 500 type of stuff all year long, had a hard time pulling away. Couldn't pull away. Weren't making anybody any money either. It was amazing. You know, the Cleveland Indians were like 20 games over 500. You were only up like $800 betting on them, actually. Well, not anymore. The Cleveland Indians are on a torrid freaking pace and are moving on in historic proportions right now. The modern record for wins is 20 in 2002. Hard to believe, but hey, sports changes, all right? The Oakland Athletics actually won 20 games in a row in 2002. If you know, that's the modern day record, and I'm not really a fan of modern day records. If it's a record, it's a record. Although in baseball, it's a little bit different for all the obvious reasons. But if you really want to get down to this, the actual all-time record, 1916, the New York baseball Giants. All right, they won 26 games in a row. To put this in perspective, as far as the Cleveland Indians are concerned, they haven't lost a baseball game since like 3 days before Connor and Floyd fought. Think about that. Like Rice and Stanford. Think about that, like opening college football weekend. That was August 26th. They haven't lost since August the 23rd, man. August the 23rd, man. But what does it mean? Well, it means the Indians are now the second choice to win the World Series after the Los Angeles Dodgers. Even though the Dodgers have lost 16 to 17 baseball games, they're still plus 280 favorites to win the World Series. The Cleveland Indians are the second choice at plus 500. And, you know, what does the Cleveland Indians streak mean right now? Absolutely nothing. Is there any sport in which the reset once the playoffs start is more meaningful than it is in baseball? Home field doesn't really mean all that much in baseball. There's a few teams that take advantage of it during the regular season, but in the postseason, unless you're in a game seven situation, home field really doesn't mean all that much. You've got one game wild cards, man. You've got five game series. A lot of crazy stuff can happen. And truth be told, it really doesn't matter what your record is. Once you get to the baseball playoffs, anything can happen. You can make a legitimate argument that the Dodgers, will turn this around. Can they turn it around? I don't know. Teams that have lost this many games in a row, 12 out of 13 games, never won a World Series before. Nobody's talking about the Houston Astros right now just because they haven't won 19 in a row. You know, the Rockies, the D-backs, they've been up. The Royals have been up and down. The roller coaster that we call the chipper has been a vicious one this year, and it's only going to get wilder, man. We got loops, and we got turns, and we got all kinds of stuff coming up. If you can tell me a better time of the sports year than what we have now and coming up in the end of September, into October, you tell me what it is.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We've got a rock solid show for you. Dave Malinsky will join us. Mike Cardano, Emery Hunt. I thought Rich Sermonello might have been today, actually, but I was confused. Rich Sermonello joins us tomorrow. And, of course, you can catch Rich Sermonello and Joe Lisi every Saturday morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Television Network and the Dish Network talking college football. College football today, 9 to 12. I join him with my best bets of the week. So we've got a lot of stuff to get to. Week one of the National Football League is officially in the books. College of football, have got a massive game between Clemson and Louisville this week. We're talking football on the show today. Emery Hunt's going to join us. Mike Cardano and Dave Malinsky, Bats leadoff. You can read his daily column, Vegas Point Blank, over at sportsbookreview.com. Dave Malinsky, straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, joins us. Dave, always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, Gabe, after the type of day you put in yesterday, and I wish people understood just how long your days are, was talking with somebody in the media this morning. I said, if we started calling Gabe the Keith Richards of sports media, would younger people understand how much of a compliment that is?
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I haven't done as many drugs as Keith has in the years, and I could probably use the blood of a 14-year-old right now like he has. But, yeah, football season's here, and I figure, you know what, I'm going to be doing the work anyway, so why not stick a camera in front of me while I do it, right, Dave? But I appreciate the kind words. Word of no lie, we are putting in 16, 18-hour days now.
Yeah, because, you know, even my day, which I'm not doing nearly as much airtime as you do, my Monday starts with a 5:30 a.m. appearance with Pauly Howard and Mitch Moss on the VSiN network. And then it ended with you, I was at about 9 p.m. Pacific time. So that's still almost 16 hours of being out there somewhere in some form. Makes for long days, but you know what? We're not allowed to complain because there are listeners who do get up and have to actually work for a living.
Yeah, it beats the 9-to-5 grind. I'm not complaining either. It's better to be busy than dead, Dave. And, you know, there's the old saying, make sure you do what you love so you never work a day in your life. And, yeah, that is exactly the case. I don't look at it like this is work. This is just my life. It's just my lifestyle that I've chose. Although, after like a Saturday, Dave, in which I actually clocked it, and you want a long day on Saturday, I did a TV hit at 7:40 your time, so 10:40 a.m. I was on, obviously, late Friday night. So I did a TV hit, 10:40 a.m., 11:40 a.m., and then obviously started watching all the games, and I was watching the shows in the morning. I was watching the show I was on. I was watching College Game Day, et cetera. So basically from 9 a.m., and then that Boise State-Washington State game went in overtime, Dave. So literally, word of no lie, it ended at like 2:47. So I put in 14 hours and 47 minutes. I might have left the house for like 10 minutes. I went to the store once. I ordered in. But I watched college football literally for 14 hours and 47 minutes consecutively. Then woke up and did the NFL thing. I did a show at 9 a.m., 10 a.m. the Sunday morning. But I had to question my life after, Dave, as I sat there alone at 3 in the morning thinking, dear God, I just watched 15 hours straight of college football today. No wonder I'm single.
Well, you know what makes this all so extra difficult? And those of us on the West Coast learn the lessons, and you had to experience it with Boise and Washington State. Saturday nights get capped with a lot of Pac-12 games, and you can't get a Pac-12 game under 4 hours, you know, these days, especially a Washington State game. So what do we have for the nightcap out there this Saturday? You got Mississippi and California already with a 72 total on the board. And when the total's in the 70s, it's hard to get a game to come in at under 4 hours. So we've been accustomed to this for a long, long time from our end.
Sounds like a five-hour affair to me, Mississippi and California. All right, so let's get down to business. Week one of the NFL is in the books. Dave's got a great column over at sportsbookreview.com on a daily basis. But today's very interesting, in which you highlight the offensive line situations, in which people don't often talk about the trenches, in which games are of course, won and lost. But you talk about the offensive line situations. A lot of people focused in, due to the fantasy purposes, on the lackluster offensive performances in week one, specifically at the quarterback position. But the running backs as well, Dave, only 5 running backs rushed for 100 yards or more. And then after that, there was a massive drop-off. So there were a couple of teams that were successful running the football, not many of them. And then for the most part, you know, I would say about 70% of the National Football League had a hard time averaging 3 yards a clip when they ran the ball.
Yeah, if we go back and look at the last 5 years of the NFL, the average yards per rush was 4.2. Pretty consistent across a big sample. It was only 3.6 on Saturday. You had good runners against bad defenses. Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, David Johnson before he got hurt, all struggling to even get the 3 yards in attempt. So what we did, Gabe, is we went back to something that Tom Cable said a couple of years ago, and I really took it to heart. Cable's the offensive line coach in Seattle. He said, look, these spread offenses in the college game are sending us terrible offensive linemen. They are not prepared. All they do in college is they brush block real quickly, and get back to the line of scrimmage and snap the ball on the next play. So I said, okay, let's see if we can quantify how this is done. And here's what we did in point blank. We looked at last year's Pro Bowl rosters. The first lineman chosen, not the alternates or not the injury fill-ins. Well, out of the 16 guys chosen for the Pro Bowl in the offensive line, not one came from a college that ran a spread offense. So a lot of the fantasy guys focus in on there just not being enough quarterbacks in the NFL because the spread offense is hurt at quarterback. Guess what? There is a dearth of qualified offensive linemen to go around the league.
Dave, the quality of play in week one was as bad as I can remember. And I've been watching the football, National Football League for a long time. It was better last night. So obviously it's going to get better. But, you know, they have four preseason games. It's an exercise in futility. Nobody wants to play in the games. The coaches don't want to play their players in the games. And then the season starts and they're unprepared. We see college football. They don't have a preseason. They have very limited practice. They have very limited time with the kids. Yet they come out flying in week one. What do you make of that?
Part of it is there is that urgency in practice. Because it's one thing in the NFL when they say, we're not going to play our guys in preseason games. We don't want them to get hurt. That means you also don't want them to get hurt in practice either. You assume that they know the playbook. They know the schemes. They just got to work their way in shape. College football is different. You go out there, you open your fall camp with half of your roster as freshmen or sophomores. Guess what? These kids have to play because they have to learn the system. There's such a different level of urgency.
All right, Dave, Thursday's game, these teams are mirror images of each other, and it's amazing how quickly the tables can turn. And even though we're this early in the National Football League season, you don't want to be 0-2. You're 0-2, and suddenly on Monday morning, the local columnists are writing about your future as a head coach with your respective team. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to be Marvin Lewis or Bill O'Brien on Friday morning after this football game if I lost this game. Word out of Houston is right now, and I don't know. You never know. I can't believe these national beat guys all the time. They throw stuff out there, Dave. But the word out of Houston is that if Deshaun Watson, and his ankle's a little banged up, but the plan is for Deshaun Watson to start this game on Thursday night in Cincinnati against the Cincinnati Bengal football team that's coming off a shutout loss on their home field.
Well, here's the key, Gabe, because O'Brien and Lewis have been around long enough. You mentioned 0-2. They don't see 0-2 because what happens next week? Houston goes to New England. Cincinnati goes to Green Bay. You're looking at an 0-3 for the loser of this game. And as weak of a division as Houston is in, I don't know if you can overcome an 0-3 even there. Meanwhile, forget about it if you're the Bengals. You open 0-3, the Ravens and the Steelers are going to outdistance you. So this is a major, major game out there. I'm not quite sure if O'Brien does the right thing or not with Watson, because here's what we do know. Playing Tom Savage doesn't serve a purpose. He's thrown 105 passes as an NFL quarterback without a single touchdown pass yet. He doesn't have upside. So you know Watson is your future. But, boy, do you want to throw him out there to the Bengals and Patriots on the road in his first two starts? That could be a real tough way for a guy to build his confidence. And until they get Dwayne Brown back in that offensive line, I don't know if I want to risk Watson, you know, out there. As bad as Savage got beat up in the first half, Watson got sacked four times in the second half.
You said you don't know if you want to risk Watson. I don't know if I want to risk watching this game or betting this game. I had the Bengals and I had the Texans in week one. What am I supposed to do coming into this game, Dave?
Well, here's what's going to happen. The decision might get made for us because there's plenty of 5.5 in the markets already. If this game goes to 6, it is awfully tempting. As bad as the Houston offensive line is, that defensive front is one of the NFL's best. The Cincinnati offensive line, one of the NFL's worst. So give me that Houston front seven, if the line goes to 6, to stay competitive and at least keep this to be a one-score game.
Disastrous start for an Arizona Cardinal football team. It was looking for a positive start after last year's bad luck-ridden season that they had, and here they are. They blow a 10-0 lead. What was it, 10-0, 17-9 leads. And here they are right now in week two without David Johnson. It's official. He's going to be out 2 to 3 months. They lose their best football player. I defended Carson Palmer in the offseason. You know, he looked good in the last five games of the year. Last year, 11 touchdowns, three interceptions. I bought into the new offseason workout routine in which he wasn't going to throw the ball so he wouldn't have dead arm. But it looks like Carson Palmer is running out of fuel right now, Dave. Fortunately for them, they get the Indianapolis Colts. But, you know, in week three, they get the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Here's another situation in which Pagano probably gets a little bit of goodwill because Luck is out. Yeah, you have a new GM there. I've always thought that Pagano was kind of lucky that he hasn't been fired yet, to be honest with you, in Indianapolis as it is. Similar situation. One of these coaches wakes up 0-2, and similar situation with a quarterback situation. Pagano reportedly is seriously considering starting Jacoby Brissett.
Well, it's similar to what we had said about Tom Savage. Playing Scott Tolzien, there's no future there.
You could play a cheerleader ahead of Tolzien, and it wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, so maybe you do gamble up, but now here's the problem. Brissett's only been there for a short amount of time. Does he know their offense well enough, and have they built enough of an offense around his skills? That's a difficult transition to make. I'll tell you what's tough in Arizona. So much was on the shoulders of Johnson, not only as a runner, as a receiver, but as a play-action passing threat. Because, okay, Carson Palmer may have saved his arm in the offseason. It's his legs that are the problem. He doesn't have much mobility left. Anytime he has to break the pocket, the play's over.
Great point.
The best thing he can do is just throw the ball away. You had that play action, though. Fake a handoff to Johnson, slow the defense, and work downfield to Fitzgerald and the receivers. Now you don't have that anymore because there's no one in that backfield that the defense will buy a fake off of. If they see Palmer drop back, they're going to the quarterback. They're not going to care if he hands the ball off. That's going to make an immobile guy even less mobile.
I never heard so many varying opinions about a football team as I did for the Kansas City Chiefs coming into this year. People, I was of the belief that the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're a 9-7, 10-6 team. Andy Reid, that's what he does. He wins double-digit games on a yearly basis, and he's averaged double-digit wins with the Kansas City Chiefs. There are a lot of people that thought that they were on the decline. You know, we live in such a fantasy-focused world right now, Dave, so the fantasy perspective often leads to a reality perspective as well. And we heard an awful lot about the skill position players. Who is Kareem Hunt? You know, no one's losing sleep over Chris Conley. And Tyreek Hill isn't a legitimate number one wide receiver. Well, they put up 41 points against the New England Patriots in the season opener last week. Now they lay 5 to the Eagles. And we've got the mentor and the pupil here with Doug Peterson and Andy Reid.
Yeah, let's throw something out there from Kareem Hunt that you could read in today's edition of Point Blank. What running back in the NFL led the league in most missed tackles forced? It was Kareem Hunt. That shows you that what he did was pretty legit out there on Thursday night. Here's the problem, though, for Kansas City. Barry means so much to that defense. They've had major struggles when he wasn't there in the past. One, are naturally the physical abilities. But two is Bob Sutton likes to throw a lot of complicated defensive packages out there because he could do so many things with Barry, with his experience. You can't do that anymore. Now that defensive playbook not only gets cut in half, but you have a less physically talented player out there anyway. That's going to be the problem for Kansas City. In the past, it's been defense carrying the offense. Over this cycle without Barry, it's the offense that might have to step up to carry the defense.
Could be some points put up on the board in this game, actually, at 47.5. It's a good point that you raised. Carson Wentz, a real night. Carson Wentz still makes mistakes, but, man, he's good in the pocket. Great athlete. Difficult to sack.
Yeah, let's talk about Philadelphia, too. You know, Barry being out for Casey Hurts. You, as a Buffalo fan.
Yeah, Darby's out now.
Yeah, as a Buffalo fan, you knew how capable Darby was in that secondary. Eagles, you know, needed Darby so badly because their cornerbacks are so thin. Now they've got to go on the road with a hole in their secondary. So people could talk about all the skill people here. Both of these defenses have to patch a hole this week.
Dave, we've got two minutes, and I've got two games I want to throw at you right now. Let's switch gears from the National Football League to college, and then we'll get your take on the Dodgers and the Giants tonight. We've got 2 minutes. Clemson Tigers at Louisville. Clemson have beaten them 3 straight years. The last 3 times that they played, But they've all been pretty close football games. Have the Ville closed the gap enough, and how is Kelly Bryant going to perform on the road?
They really haven't closed the gap overall. What they have is Lamar Jackson, you know, who is the best player in college football. And even people want to poo-poo it, saying, oh, he's not going to win back-to-back Heismans. He's the best player in college football. It's the rest of the team. It's an issue. Louisville was out there as a double-digit favorite in each of their first two games. That means you play clean, you take care of business. Well, guess what? They had 22 penalties. That is unbelievably sloppy when you're a double-figure favorite and the opposition isn't forcing you into much. Jackson is the best player. Clemson is the better team, and it's the better team playing smart football that eventually wins the game.
Bookies in Los Angeles have enjoyed the Dodgers' demise because they got tired of meeting people every Friday and giving them envelopes with all that Dodger money. They've lost 16 of 17. Here they are laying 270 tonight.
Well, a lot of guys in L.A. pay off in envelopes, but it's not necessarily money. you know, you live there. You know what L.A.'s like. A lot of different ways in the barter system. Dodgers' streak has been one of the most amazing I have ever seen in all my years of doing this. Because, Gabe, the bettors keep chasing the Dodgers every day. The Dodger lines keep going up. Last 11 games, they've lost by 44 runs. You know, went 0-11, losing by an average of 4 runs per game. They haven't even been in the hunt in a lot of these. So I will keep playing against them every single day as long as the markets keep chasing. And you know what you got to like here? Johnny Cueto will compete as a pro to the last pitch. You'll get your money's worth out of him.
Dave Malinsky, read his column. It's great stuff on a daily basis. Vegas Point Blank right there on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. It's always a pleasure, sir. I'll speak to you next week.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky with us. We go from Malinsky to Cardano. We got Emery Hunt. Solid stuff. Keep it locked right here.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenzo. Let's get right to back to business. You remember the song by, I believe it was REM. It's the end of the world as we know it. Well, I think it is the end of the world as we know it. And forget about like the rapture-like biblical weather that we've been seeing as of late. But let's look at the standings in the National Football League. Buffalo Bills. The sole owners of first place. And that's where they're going to be when the season ends as well. maybe not. I don't know if the Bills could win the Big Ten. The Bills are in first place. The Jags are in first place. The Rams are in first place. The Detroit Lions are in first place. The world is turned upside down. And Mike Cardano returns to the rotation on Game Time Decisions, Fantasy Sports Network's very own Vice President of Operations on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as well. Mike Cardano, what's up, Mike?
That's a little bit of a reach, Gabe. You have two teams that haven't even played a game yet.
Look at the standings. Numbers don't lie. You are a stock market guy. The stocks don't lie.
I would print that now and hang it on your wall.
You know what? I really am, actually. And nobody buys newspapers anymore, but I'm going to go out and get a USA Today before the week's done. I'm going to get Friday's USA Today. I'm going to clip the standings out because, this is probably the last time the Buffalo Bills are in first place for a long time.
maybe not. Maybe for a little while, but they're not winning that division. There's no way.
You think we have any hope in hell of beating the Carolina Panthers this Sunday?
No.
No.
You're not going to be anywhere near the playoffs. There's no way.
No, I know. I don't even know if they can get to the 6.5 wins, to be honest.
Well, you'll beat the Jets again. You'll get at least 2.
Yes. So speaking of which, Survivor – and I got into the Fantasy Factor Survivor pool, and I took the Buffalo Bills in week one. And I don't like to do the obvious pick all the time, Mike. I like to think ahead, and you know, I like to be contrarian and hope that some of the big boys lose. And some people had the Patriots, some people had the Texans in week one. But this week, it's hard for me to pass up taking the Raiders against the Jets. It's just such a freebie in Survivor.
I wouldn't do it, Gabe. What you want to do is you want to take the, that's a 99% play. You want to go for the 100% play. You got to wait till they put Hackenberg in. And the first time he plays, then you play against them.
We could just ride against the Jets in Survivor pretty much all year long, really.
You really could.
Yeah, and just sort of look for the situations, right? And the thing is with the Raiders, I look at the Raiders for Survivor, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't like doing that. Because, you know, you go with the obvious things, and then by the time you're in week five, you're screwed. But with that being stated, I look at the Raiders' schedule, and there's a lot of tough games. You know, the Raiders do play a lot of close games. This is one of their winnable ones. You're a Jet fan. And for the record, I think the Bills hang around with Carolina, but Carolina pulls away. They probably win by 10 or something like that. Don't forget McDermott knows the inside out of this team. And so does the general manager of the Bills, Brandon Bean. He was the assistant general manager of the Panthers, so he drafted half these guys that are in Carolina. But as far as the Raiders and the Jets are concerned, I think this one gets ugly. I think the Raiders probably win, I don't know, 38-14, 44-7 or something like that in a black hole. I think the Jets get killed here.
I'd be stunned if the Jets put up 14 points.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're
going to average something single digits for the year per game, right? It would be a shocker if they get more than three field goals, I would think.
Somebody, yeah. I heard this. Did you realize did the Yankees score more on Sunday than the Jets and the Giants did over combined?
You know, the Giants have a problem, Gabe. That line is awful. And it's not like he can move back there. And they're not going to – I don't care who they have if Odell comes back out there. If the line doesn't block, they're going to have problems.
The
defense is quite good. But, you know, maybe they should put some of the defensive guys on offense. Somebody needs to block.
There's some bad football in the tri-state area, isn't there? The Jets, the Giants, and Rutgers.
Oh, God.
like, who's the worst – if I'm doing a power poll right now, I got the Jets ranked number one. I like the fact the Jets battled and hung around. The Giants, you're a disgrace. You're an embarrassment. And Rutgers, good for you, Rutgers. Eastern Michigan were 0-39 against Big Ten teams. Not anymore. Like, Rutgers should be kicked from the Big Ten, Mike. Like, you know, like really. You lost
this. They're cashing their checks,
Dave. You're out.
They're cashing their checks, but somebody should force them out. There's no way they should be there.
Yeah, so the Yankees scored 16 runs. So, yeah, they scored more than the Jets and the Giants combined. Yeah, they scored. That's what I thought. They scored more. Yeah, they should be out. And the Big Ten brought Rutgers in, so what? So they can play a stupid tournament at the Barclays Center? Good for you. Okay, Vikings, Sam Bradford. Man, this guy, I think you can put a blindfold on the guy, and he can just throw balls through tires. I've never seen, and I don't say this loosely, but he really is the most accurate quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Gabe, I think if he stays healthy, that trade they made is going to turn out to be a good trade. Listen, you know, people in the fantasy side of things, everybody loves Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook. Everybody was waxing poetically about these guys. And if they were all going to do good, well, who's going to give them the ball? So he's accurate. He completed over 70% of his passes last year. He completed 80-something percent this year. They have a defensive there. I think they win that division.
Well, we were high. I was high on the Vikings coming into the year. I said they're going to compete. I said they're going to go over the number 8.5. I said they're a double-digit win team. People thought I was crazy. I said they're a playoff team. Yeah, they look good. And I'll tell you what, Dalvin Cook brought the same thing, and people laughed at me. A couple of guys in his building, too. I said Dalvin Cook's going to do the same thing on Monday as to what Kareem Hunt did. A couple of, Morency. Oh, yeah, there's Morency. Yeah, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. All right, didn't put up the exact same numbers receiving, but pretty much the same thing. For the record, they're both number one and number two in rushing in the NFL right now after 1 week. But he just brings that dynamic in which a five-yard, you know, what would be a five-yard screenplay before can turn into a 48-yard gain. You know, he just has that big play ability.
Listen, their weakness is still their offensive line. It's improved over last year. But he's going to have to earn, you know, his stat line wouldn't have looked so good if he didn't rip off that last one. But to his credit, they just wore them down, and he did. So I think they win that division. I don't think it'll be close either.
We talked with Malinsky. We dropped a little knowledge here. Dave's the best, the professor. Said, so over the last 5 years, the average rush per carry in the NFL, 4.2. You know, that's pretty much been the standard our whole life, Mike, right? The four is the, you know, the barometer, so to speak. The average in week one was 3.6. And only five running backs had over 100 yards rushing. And like Malinsky said, all these kids grow up in a college system now. They play O-line. They're playing in these spread-out run-and-gun offenses. They don't know how to get in the trenches and run block anymore.
It was either a lot of bad offense or a lot of good defense this week. It was a sloppy week overall.
You've got a couple of them, right? A couple of the Cardano juniors, man. Oh, you got a couple of big kids on the line. Isn't one of your kids a center?
They've thinned out.
They're thinned out. We're moving to tight end now.
The Atkins died or something. They're all thinned out. Everybody wants to. Everybody follows Steph Curry. They want to back up.
What's the deal? You're not keeping the fridge full. What's going on, Mike?
I'm just eating it all.
It's full. Cardano's eating it all. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs. Very similar team to the Vikings, aren't they? And they both have this new dynamic. What do you make of the Chiefs' start? And they play the Eagles this week.
So listen. Eric Berry, they're going to have to solve that problem. That's going to be their weakness. But listen, you know, I think people fall asleep on Alex Smith. He gets a bad rap. He's won over 64% of his games. He's 86-50. Look at the people starting in the NFL who've played over 100 games. How many of those people have won that?
That's percent? An incredible ratio of winning percentage.
And the other thing is people say, oh, he can't win in the playoffs. Well, you know, he's played 6 playoff games. He's thrown 12 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. He outscored Drew Brees 36-32 in 2011. He threw for 378 yards and 4 TDs and no touchdowns, losing to the Colts in 2013, 44-45. Last year, he drove Kansas City right down the field for the game-tying score against the Steelers, including the 2-point conversion with almost no time remaining. And that got called back, of course, because of a penalty, and then it didn't go. You know, and much like Bradford, he's now got some playmakers and a defense to help him out. So I think he's very much underestimated. He's not Trent Dilfer. He's much better than that, and you can certainly win with him. I think people fall asleep on him.
He was a star quarterback and a hell of an athlete. I remember he beat up Nick Saban in Alabama in the Sugar Bowl years ago. All right, when he was with the Utah Utes, Urban Meyer was the coach.
Gabe, he was the number one NFL. He was the number one pick.
He's a hell of an athlete.
People fall asleep because he wasn't fantasy sexy, but a lot of that has to do with the play calling. And Andy Reid wins the games. He doesn't care about your fantasy team, but he wins the games. But when he needs to do stuff, he will. And I think he has some more assets this year, and I think you'll see him put up better fantasy numbers. And they're going to have another fantastic season.
All right, we've got about 1 minute here. I did my intro of the show today was the theme of the baseball season. I can't recall a roller coaster year like this ever, man. Dodgers are the greatest team ever. They're going to win 117 games. Boom, they've lost 16 of 17. Now the Cleveland Indians have won 19. They're 16-3 on the run line during that run as well. And you want to get semantical here, actually, with my intro, and I called it a record, the so-called record. 1916 New York baseball Giants. If you guys wonder why they call them the New York football Giants, because it used to be a baseball team. New York Giants, 1916, they won 26 straight. 1935, Cubs won 21 in a row. Modern-day record, 2002 Athletics. But you've got a little curveball here. There was a tie.
Yeah, there were 27-game streak in that Giants 1916 game. One of them was a tie. So the record's actually 21 by the Cubs. Hey, listen, going back to the Dodgers here, you know, we spoke when the Yu Darvish trade came down. He's not going to do anything. How's that working out? They went in the tank after they got him. And, you know, no team has gone through a 1-13 stretch.
I know.
According to stats, and won. And no team has gone 13-1 and 1-13 in the same season. You've got Kershaw going tonight. Giants are plus 30. Not even Kershaw is going to be able to stop this. Take the plus 30. Well, 230. Take it.
Mike Cardano agrees with Dave Malinsky and says, take the New York Giants. New York Giants. They were. San Francisco Giants, whatever. Ah. All right. Yeah, well, they moved. They were the New York Giants. Take the Giants either way. All right, Mike, always a pleasure, man. Good to have you back in rotation.
All right, take care.
Mike Cardano with us. Emery Hunt joins us next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's bring in Emory Hunt, footballgameplan.com, one of my favorite guests. Let's talk football. And as I mentioned off the top, Emory loves all football. So I want to ask him a couple of questions here and get his take on this. Emory, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Gabe. I always appreciate you having me on, man.
All right, so let's get right down to business, Emory. And I'll ask you, I'm like you. I love all football. I love college football, NFL football. I used to even be into the Arena Football League, but not so much anymore. But week one of the NFL was less than stellar. You know, boring, inadequate play, putrid offense. It was just bad. You know, college football has been very, very entertaining so far this year. I sort of go back and forth on a yearly basis. I watched them all on Saturday and Sunday. I was talking. I spent 14 hours and 47 minutes watching college football on Saturday, and I watched everything on Sunday again. But it might be a year where I'm more into college this year. We'll see where it goes if the NFL gets better. But when it comes right down to it, if I told you, you're on an island, you can only watch the games all day Saturday or all day Sunday, what are you choosing?
Oh, wow. That's a very tough question. You know, I would choose college football because it has a lot more storylines, a lot of intrigue. It's a faster game. And it's a lot more fun to watch. We've seen a lot of terrible quarterback play in the NFL, and that could really drag out a game. Imagine if you had to watch the Colts and Rams play football on Sunday. That's a tough watch. But college football, no matter the teams, no matter the record, you can get into a Rhode Island Central Michigan game more so than you can a Los Angeles Rams Indianapolis Colts game.
Yeah, and, you know, the play calling is more exotic in college. The pageantry, the bands. The atmosphere with the drama, with the kids in the stands, everything's just so hectic and the roller coaster. And another thing is, too, you know, in a college football game, if it's 14-0, the game's not over. You know, the game's not over. It's a wave of emotions, the college game. You know, look at that Boise State-Washington State game the other night. One of the craziest, strangest games I've ever seen in my life. You know, in the NFL, team gets up, boom, let's just start running the ball, bleed the clock. It's just boring. The NFL is a boring product.
Yeah, the NFL tends to take a lot of the fun out of football. And college football is like NBA basketball where everybody's going to make a run. So, yes, you may be up 21-0, riding high, and all of a sudden that momentum comes and pushes the other team out in front, and now you have a shootout. So I think it's going to be – even if you have a favorite team, a dog in a fight, I know my Louisiana Raging Cajuns – was in a shootout last week against Tulsa and lost 66-48 or something like that. But that was a fun game to watch because of how chaotic and bad it was, but a lot of points were scored.
Well, that's the thing, and a lot of college programs realize that. Listen, we're not going to win a championship, but we got to entertain the boosters, entertain the base. Let's play an entertaining style of football, even if we're going to lose. I wish I was on the over that football game. So before we get to the pro game here, Clemson and Louisville – I asked Dave Malinsky about this game, and you know, he brought up the sloppiness of the Louisville Cardinals through the first 2 weeks with the 22 penalties. You know, 22 penalties in games that they should win, and I get that, but we got Kelly Bryant making his first road start here. That Clemson defense is spectacularly good. And with Lamar Jackson, I know you break down tape and you watch this stuff, so Lamar Jackson, his numbers might not be his video game-like, but you can really tell this kid's developing into a real quarterback. It's almost as though, like, there's an NFL coach speaking in his ear. We want to see you stay in the pocket. We want to see your footwork. We want to see the accuracy. And it's like, check mark, check mark, check mark. This guy's developing really into a real quarterback, not just an athlete.
Well, I always say that we never got to see what Bobby Petrino was able to do with Michael Vick because Vick went to jail. But this is exactly what it would have looked like had Petrino had Vick when he was a head coach that one season in Atlanta. Lamar Jackson has completely developed. You look at him from his first year when he got there, he literally would just take the ball and take off running. Last year, he became more of a passer as well, in between running for 1,500 yards en route to winning the Heisman. And this year, you're seeing more of a development on a deep pass, and that's something that where he had to work on last year. So this is a guy, having spoken with him at the Heisman ceremony last year, he takes football seriously. He wants to get better. He wants to improve. And we've obviously seen that each and every year he's been under Petrino's tutelage.
Who do you like in this game?
I actually like Louisville because I think we saw last year Louisville came down to, what, the last play of the game nearly. Their receiver ran out of bounds just a yard short of the first down. I think Clemson's defense is good, especially up front, but I also think it neutralizes well, Lamar Jackson can neutralize what that front can do because of his ability to run. Their secondary is weaker, especially on the corners, having lost those guys in Cordrea Tankersley and also the safety back there in I forget his name, but he was number one. They lose those guys. They lose J.R. Johnson, the other safety back there. I think Lamar Jackson will have a field day with the secondary. It'll be a shootout because Louisville's defense is not that good, to put it lightly. And I think you'll see the score, right, the line is what? Louisville is three-point underdogs. I think they win by three.
Emory Hunt with us. And Emory lives in the shadows of Giant Stadium. And Giant Stadium was empty this weekend. But the New York Giants will be hosting the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football. And I asked Cardano in the last segment, Emory, because he's a Jet fan. I'm a Bills fan. So if we're doing a power poll of the state, let's go through the state, actually. It would be fun, actually, if we did like a top 10 of the state rankings. But everyone picked on the Jets so much coming into the season, including myself. I said, listen, the Jets are going to be an 0-16 team, maybe, literally. I literally think they might not win a football game this year. But they battled hard. They got nothing to hang their heads about as far as how they performed against the Buffalo Bills. They competed. They didn't quit. Can't say the same about the New York Giants. There were a lot of bad performances on Sunday in the National Football League. Yet the Giants, to me, were right up there. I get it that Odell Beckham's out. But wait, your team's that fragile that Odell Beckham's out and you guys can't get a first down? Offensive line play was putrid. They can't run the football. They don't try to run the football. Perkins isn't an every down running back, all right? He's a third down back. You got two third down guys with Perkins and Vereen there. That was a train wreck with the Giants. That was a disgrace.
Yeah, and my biggest issue with the Giants dates back to during the draft talk, and it fell perfectly for them right there at pick 23. They had their opportunity to take either Cam Robinson, the outstanding tackle who put together a marvelous performance against J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney on Sunday for Jacksonville, or they could have went Dalvin Cook, and we just saw him have an outstanding performance.
Or the Bowlers kid, the big kid out of Utah, the other big lineman.
Yeah, the Bowles, exactly.
Yeah, Bowles, yeah, exactly.
They had an opportunity to fix the problem with the premier talent up front or in the backfield. And lo and behold, week one, those are the two issues with this football team. It didn't matter if Odell Beckham was there or wasn't there. They couldn't run the football. They couldn't protect Eli Manning. And that's where they have to get better moving forward.
All right. So what did you take away? What team struck you the most in the NFL that you liked in week one moving forward? That you don't think it was just because week one, we can't overreact. You know, we can't overreact, but who is a team that played well in week one that you think moving forward is got something going on here?
The Cleveland Browns. And I was in Cleveland for training camp, for one day of training camp, and I was on Cleveland radio and telling them that this defense, based off what I saw today, would be a top 15 defense. And lo and behold, their defense was really putting the clamps on Pittsburgh. Now, granted, they gave up a lot to Antonio Brown, but the Steelers couldn't run the ball, and they couldn't get the ball to anybody else. And offensively, you're going to see that offense start to hit its stride as a rookie quarterback gains experience, which will yield confidence, and they'll be able to move the football down the field. So Cleveland will be a much better team. I think 5 or 6 wins is not out of the question. And if they can get some early confidence on the early part of their schedule, they may even push for 8 wins. So I think the Browns and what you saw and how close they played Pittsburgh bodes well for their chances moving forward. But you're right. This is essentially the fifth preseason game, week one, so you cannot overreact. But I was impressed with what I saw from Cleveland.
Yeah, week one is week 5 of the preseason. Well put. Emory Hunt, FBGamePlan.com. Follow him on Twitter, FBGamePlan. Always a pleasure, my man. Great stuff talking football with you.
Appreciate that, Gabe.
There's Emory Hunt with his great stuff. All right, we're going to come back with our plays of the day. Baseball.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
time for our plays of the day. Football is back on Thursday, so we'll focus in on the Diamond. And, hey, why not? Let's focus in on the Cleveland Indians. They've won 19 straight games, guys. Okay, you got to lay a massive number. What about the run line? They've actually covered the run line, -1.5, 16 out of the last 19 baseball games. These guys haven't lost a game since 3 days before Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. Think about that. All right, so we're going to lay the 1.5 tonight with Kluber and the Cleveland Indians. New York Yankees. Yankees are hot right now. They've won 7 of their last 10. This is a strange game. Taking place in New York, it's you know, if you look at the rotation, you can't really tell. It looks like a home game for Tampa. It's actually at Citi Field where the Mets play due to the flooding in the Tampa area. So Yankee fans will be in the house. I like Sonny Gray and the Bronx Bombers in this spot. And we got the Houston Astros. Astros are stumbling a little bit here right now. Astros are a -125 against the Angels. I like Verlander on the hill. Other than that, you're on your own, mate. A winner's be yours.